Let's look at how you plan and prepare your presentation. Take a pen and paper and make some notes on your answers to the following questions. Imagine that you have been asked to give a presentation. As you start to prepare for this, what are the main things that you will need to think of? Your presentation is to take place in the boardroom. What will you need to check out there? You will want to gear your presentation to suit your audience. What do you need to consider here? How will you prepare and structure the content of your presentation? Now let's look further at the things to consider when planning and preparing. Presentation objectives. Why is it important to have an objective? Your objective is like the beam of a torch on a dark night. It signals the way ahead. It should be specific and not vague, so that you can decide later whether or not you have achieved it. The starting point for your objective will be to ask whoever invited you to speak, unless of course you're planning the event yourself, why the presentation is to be given. You need to know what ground you are expected to cover, how long you are to speak, when you are to start or finish, whether there are to be questions, and how you will fit in with other speakers and elements in the event. Are you there to persuade, sell, inform, or to stimulate thought? Whatever the reason, you need to present in a way that is appealing so that people are interested and want to listen. So choose one clear purpose and write it out, preferably in one short sentence. For example, to inform staff about new taxation legislation, as this will help to clarify your thoughts. Audience. The key to success is to please and satisfy your audience. They, not you, must be the centre of the event. You must pitch your talk at the right level for them if you want to hold their interest and attention. Consider in advance how many people are likely to be in the audience and what is their knowledge of the subject. What are their expectations? What is their reason for attending, and are there any biases that they might have? What are their likely reactions? Friendly, sceptical, hostile, receptive? Environment. If you haven't used a particular room before, it is always wise to visit it well beforehand to check out the facilities and to familiarise yourself with the room. Check the equipment availability and its location in the room. How does the equipment work? And where are the PowerPoints? What are the seating arrangements? And are there any pillars that might obstruct view? Are there window blinds? Will there be any possible distractions from inside or outside? And how is the heating and lighting? Timing. Be clear about the time you have available for your presentation. Plan well and stick to the timing on the day. If you can influence the time of day for your presentation, you may like to consider when your personal best time is and when your audience might be most receptive. Try, if you can, to avoid what is called the graveyard shift, i.e. immediately after lunch. Content. Preparing the content of your presentation is important, and you need to allow yourself plenty of time for this. Just consider that the BBC allow 1 hour for every single minute of speaking time. There are 5 stages to preparing your content. Brainstorm your ideas, select and organise your material, Illustrate, either verbally or visually. Structure and sequence the material logically. And create the notes from which you will deliver your presentation. Brainstorming. Jot down your thoughts and ideas about the subject as they occur. Make mind maps or pattern notes, developing as many parts as possible. The brain is continually analysing, interpreting, and juggling interrelated networks of thoughts and ideas. Mind maps replicate the way the brain works, enabling you to relate to information more naturally and efficiently. If you've not used mind maps before, you may find it a little strange to begin with. Persevere. It is a really useful technique here. Start by taking a plain sheet of paper and setting it landscape. Write down the main theme in the centre and then branch out along lines of connecting ideas. Let your mind be as free as possible and don't restrict your thoughts by deciding where each point should go on a list. Use different colours, even diagrams or pictures, to capture your thoughts. After a while, you will have a mass of headings with connections to references, quotations, statistics and illustrations and other relevant information. Selecting and organising your material. You will now have far more material than you can possibly use in one talk. And that's fine. Just allow your subconscious time to get to work. After a while, you will find that you can more easily decide which is the best line or theme or section of information to take. You will now need to start putting some order to your notes, grouping related ideas together and making links from one idea to another. At this point, you will also need to prune your material because you will still have too much of it. Select from it the best reasons for your proposition and the best arguments to validate your case. Think about the objective of your talk, your audience, and then what you must tell them, what you should tell them, and what you could tell them. Select what is relevant to your audience. Be ruthless in your selection. It is better to say too little than too much. Illustrating. Think now about how to bring your talk alive for your audience. You can paint pictures with words. Try to quote practical examples and draw upon your own experiences, as these will make the subject more alive to the listener. Use visual aids where appropriate to present images and to clarify your arguments or to illustrate points. Don't use them to hide behind and don't saturate your presentation with them. Structuring and sequencing the material logically. Your presentation should have an introduction, a middle, and an end. Let's look at the introduction. This stage is often described as tell them what you're going to tell them. So let's see how you can do that by looking at what the I, N, T, R, and O of intro mean. I is for impact or interest. Make an impactful start and arouse the interest of your audience. Start off with something which is particularly interesting, unusual, and which perhaps they are not expecting. N is for need. Demonstrate the need or incentive for the audience. Make it personal to each one. Get them to understand why they need to give you their attention and show them the importance of the topic to them. Be enthusiastic and sincere. T is for title. give the title of your talk if there is one. R is for range. Indicate the range of your talk, saying what you will be including and what you must leave out. Indicate how long it will last and whether or not you will be answering questions. And O is for objectives. What are the objectives for your talk? What will they know at the end of it? And how do you want them to react to it? Use your introduction to set out the route you intend to take. Indicate what you are going to tell them, signpost and signal. The main body. The stages of the development of your theme must be clear in your own mind. Only make the points that are essential to your objectives. Give clear signposts and verbal paragraphs. To help you make your points, use examples, analogies, and appropriate visual aids. Be sure that your linking summaries are accurate and adequate for the purpose. Don't labour your arguments with too much repetition, but do illustrate and reinforce your points where possible. Present your arguments so that only the main or important ones are remembered. Your system of priorities is important here. The end. Tell them what you've told them. Don't suddenly end abruptly. Your finish needs to be part of the overall plan. The closing sentences of a well-delivered talk will tend to linger on in the minds of your listeners. Capitalise on this. Summarise by briefly repeating and restating your main points. Check that you have achieved your objective. It can be useful to restate this. If you have any references or handouts, now is the time to give them. Answering questions. If you indicated that there would be a time for questions, invite them now. And point to what comes next. For example, another talk or a refreshment break. End positively by thanking the audience for their time and their interest. Notes. Notes are necessary because you can't always rely on memory. They are a safety net. They help to keep you on track. And it's difficult to rehearse timing without notes. No matter how much preparation and rehearsal has been put in, being faced by an audience makes even the most experienced presenters forget their material. For this reason, all good presenters come equipped with a set of notes, not to read out directly, but to use as prompts. There are four main methods for note-taking. Highlighted scripts, which are typed, large typeface, double spacing, highlighting keywords. Record or cue cards, which are small, approximately 2 by 3 inches, numbered in order, loosely tied with keywords and phrases. There are column-style notes, which are similar to highlighted script, but with notes in columns so that you can locate information easily. And mind maps, sometimes called pattern notes or spider diagrams. Whichever method you use, the first step is to produce a script of what you want to say. This is used for planning your material, as well as helping in the rehearsals and timing of each particular key stage. The notes serve only as prompts. You must rehearse the script so that you know what you are going to say. Highlighted script. With this method, you use the actual script with keywords or phrases within the text picked out with a highlighter pen. Ideally, the script should be typed in large typeface with double line spacing to make it easy to read. When using record or cue cards, you identify keywords or phrases in the script and write them on a series of small, discrete cards. Punch a hole in the corner of each card and tie them loosely together. This ensures that if you drop them, they stay in the right order. Column style. Some like to use column style format on A4 paper. These are probably best placed on a table beside you so that you can refer to them easily while speaking rather than hold them in your hands. Mind maps are becoming increasingly popular for notes, and these can be drawn on A4 paper or on record cards. Your notes should be brief and consist of key words. The level of detail to extend to is a matter of choice. If you have prepared thoroughly and well, you may not need too much detail. The rule of thumb is to use just enough explanation to enable you to put your points over effectively. Too much detail and your notes will be difficult to follow. They should not be read like a script. Rather, they should provide you with a set of clear pointers or signposts to steer you through your talk. They must therefore be set out clearly and simply. You can also write timings down so that you can keep a check on how slow or fast you are. Your notes will need to include your introductory points, the main points of your talk, some examples, analogies, and verbal pictures that you intend to use to illustrate, and points that you wish to emphasise. Whichever method you choose to use, the benefits of using notes are that they will give you more confidence, provide you with a memory jogger as your talk progresses, ensure a logical sequence, demonstrate that you have prepared thoroughly, and keep you on track.